chapter 1, finishing up the first chapter and also into the second chapter. Now, we're going to be dealing with what a book. I mean, talk about the Bible, what a book. The great blessings that we have to have a copy of the Word of God and know that it is from heaven and know it is from God. It is God's Word. What a great blessing that we take for granted so many times about the Word of God. Peter, writing to a group of people in the early ages of Christianity, and we know that those people has been persecuted, they've been scattered, and they looked like they didn't have no hope, and Peter writing this book to them for hope. And I'm going to tell you, there's hope in the Word of God because there's hope in Jesus Christ. What a blessing it is to have the Word of God. I hope everybody has a copy of the Word of God. If you know someone that does not have a copy of the Word of God, we need to get them a copy of the Word of God. Amen. We'll be going down to Mexico, and Brother Ben Glosson Church, they take up and buy about anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 Bibles a year, Spanish-speaking Bibles, to here to Mexico. And then Sarah's going on a mission trip, I think, before long. And then Brother Richie in different parts of the world and different languages of the Bible. But thank God that you got a copy of the English language because it was translated. I cannot read Greek and you cannot read Greek and Hebrew, but thank God that we have a copy of the English language Bible before us this day. If you have never placed in the hands of someone that's never had a copy of the Word of God, if you ever place that in their hands, and they've never had even a book that they could call their own, but when you place a copy of the Word of God in their hands, knowing that it's a living Word of God, you should see their faces and the hope they have. This morning, thank you that you have a copy of the Word of God this day. What a book! What a book! And as we write, Peter's writing here this day, and seem like we would say now, as these early Christians would see, if we could just been living whenever Jesus Christ was on this earth, in the flesh and blood, if I could just been on this earth and live whenever Jesus Christ lived on this earth, what a great blessing that I'd have. I could say, Jesus, my son's sick and my family's sick. Won't you come and speak the words that they might be healed? Jesus, I'm blind. I need my sight back. Jesus, would you come help? Jesus, would you do this? And Jesus, would you do that? What a great blessing it would be to us, boy, if we could have just lived in the time whenever Jesus Christ walked here on this earth. And you could have met him face to face and asking Jesus Christ to help in all the needs. You have needs today. I mean, each and every one of us have needs. And as a pastor, I never seen so many needs in my life since I've been in the pastor for nearly 30 years now. I never seen so many needs. I mean, there are needs of all kinds. People hurting, people sick of all different kinds, and they need their needs met. Jesus Christ is on his way. Boy, if we could just been there whenever Jesus Christ were walking on this earth, we could just been living in that time. Or maybe we might say, what a great blessing we could have if we was living whenever Jesus Christ comes back to rapture the church up. I mean, when he comes back to the rapture church, we're going to meet him in the air. He said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. All the old cemeteries, all the old graveyards, you know, it's going to bust forth, and all the saints of God, their soul and the spirit, is going on to be with the Lord through generations and generations and generations. And then if we're sitting here in a church like Pleasant Hill this day, and Jesus Christ arrives back on the scene, not going to touch this earth, but he's coming in the clouds, and he says, you know what, when he comes in a cloud, he's going to rapture a church, and a dead in Christ is going to rise first. They're going to be renewed. They're going to come back out of that old ground and be reunited with their old, with a new body, a resurrection body of that soul and that spirit. If I could just be alive then, if I didn't have to face it, what a great blessing it would be if we was alive whenever Jesus Christ comes back for his church. Wouldn't that be a blessing? But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to worry about living in the past, what it would have been like if we'd have been with Jesus Christ. And you don't have to worry about living in the future that we'll be with Jesus Christ when he comes back. But I'm going to tell you what, it's the same blessings living right now. The very same blessing is living right now. Why? Because we have a living book. We have a living book. And I want to tell you, the living book is the Word of God, and it's alive. Not only that, I tell you what, and Our generation, I think we maybe dropped things along the way. A little girl told her mama, says, "Mama, you know that vase that you told me was been handed down from generation to generation to generation?" She said, "Yeah." She said, "This generation just dropped it." You know, I'm afraid that may be true of this generation that's sitting here today. We maybe have dropped it. If we want to have a revival in our country, we know exactly where we got to go to, and that's to the Word of God. Not only that, I tell you, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have a revival that's going to come through the Word of God. And not only that, if our church and for our family, for our nation, also a personal revival this day, it's going to come through the Word of God. So let us read these verses of Scriptures as Peter's giving them the Word of God. I'm going to tell you what, I'll bring alive you today and the needs that we have today. God's looking down upon this group of people today. And you know, you and some of your family members and on my prayer list, it goes on and on, and never be able to reach everybody and see everybody. There's so many of them, such a great need today. But God knows that need. And we have the power of the Word of God. And he says there in verse 22, chapter 1, verse 22, "Seeing ye have now purified your soul and obeying the truth through the Spirit, the unfringed love of God, sincere love of God of the brethren, that see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again not of the corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as the grass, and all the glory of man is the flowers of the grass. The grass withers and the flowers thereof fadeth away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore now, laying aside all the malice and the guile and hypocrisy and envying and evil speaking, as newborn babes desiring sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereof. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Let us pray. Father, we just want to thank you here this hour, Lord, the meeting the needs of the people here today, Father, but not here, but all over the place, Lord. We want to thank you, Lord, that your great blessings that we see all around us, if we don't see them, our eyes, Lord, is covered over with some type of sin that we can't see the blessings of God. But Father, allow us, Lord, this day to open our eyes and understanding of our heart, Lord, and lay aside these things that we should lay aside, and let us see the blessings of God and the power of God and the hope of God through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That people, oh Lord, understand that you're right on top of everything and you're in control of everything. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the all-knowing and all-power and all-loving and all-merciful God that we serve this hour. Oh Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this Word of God is alive and is powerful, and it gives us hope, Father, not just from the past of our past sin being forgiven on the cross of Calvary, but God, for the future, Jesus Christ, when you come back after us, Lord, one by one, or make that great flight, Lord, that you might rapture us up today. Father, we want to thank you and praise you this day. Give us that hope and understanding, Father. Give us, Lord, the excitement in our heart that we ought to have today, knowing, oh God, that this life might soon be over for many of us. But Father, we know, Lord, life will never be over if we in Christ Jesus. We'll just begin to live, although the years may be creeping up on many of us. But Father, we know the years, oh God, will mean nothing in eternity, where time shall be no more. We thank you and we praise you today, Father, that we can preach the living Word of God, and souls might be saved, and lives shall be changed. And Father, we get a new grasp of living and life that we should have by looking in the mirror of God's Word this day. We thank you and we praise you, O God, for the Father of the Word of God we have today. And we thank you, Lord, for the great message, O God, that you have in the gospel of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you now for the Word of God that we have today. We know in our country that we're living in, as we look around our churches and our religious cycle today, in a religious circle today, I'm going to tell you, as Franklin Graham said, there's three things that's happening in our country today. He says there's one thing that we are toning down. I mean, in a religious arena today, we're toning down. Don't get too excited about church service anymore. Don't get too excited about serving Jesus Christ anymore. Don't get too excited now about reading the Bible anymore. Don't get too excited now about Sunday school or Wednesday night. Don't get too excited about church attendance anymore. Don't get too excited about being a Christian anymore. I'm going to tell you, he says we're toning down. I think we've been toning down in this generation for a pretty good while. But then I'll tell you, old Franklin Graham says not only that, but we're dressing down. And you know what the great word is now? Come just like you are. God says come like you are because he sees the inside. But he's not talking about the dress that we wear today. I'm going to tell you, people used to wear overalls, and there's nothing wrong with overalls. If every man here today had on a pair of overalls, if it's the best you had, that pleases God today. But I want to tell you what, today people are dressing down. Look at the sandals and look at the shorts. And I'm going to tell you, look what people wear today to church. Not here, I'm talking about church at all. And then I'm going to tell you what, look at the dresses and the shorts and people wearing today. You know what they're doing? They're dressing down. They're not showing reverence to God. They're not showing the best that they have for Jesus Christ. Preacher, I don't like that. Well, take it any way you want to. It's from God. And I want to tell you, Franklin Graham says they're toning down. Don't get excited about coming to church. Don't get excited about Christianity. And you just dress down to the occasion. If you're coming from the beach, you come just like you are with your bikinis on if you want to. It's God don't care. I'm going to tell you what, God does care. I'm going to tell you, God sets the example for us to be pure in heart and holy in our dress. And we are dressed to please God and not mankind. But then I'm going to tell you what, the third thing old Franklin Graham said, he says we are dumbing down. This generation that we're living, they're dumbing down because we're not reading the Word of God. We're not taking the Word of God for what God says in His Word. So we are dumbing down. People do not know the Word of God, even though they have the Word of God. Many people have many Bibles today in their home, but they don't read the Word of God. They don't know about the Word of God. So they're just dumbing down. We have things running for our presidential election, and you know what? Some of them is Mormons. They've Mormons been running, and they say, well, those people knows God. Those people believe in God. Those people believe in Jesus Christ. That's a dumbing down of the Word of God. There's no other way to heaven except by Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, the Mormon religion and all other religion that denies Jesus Christ is one God, Lord and Savior. And I'm going to tell you what, it's against the teaching of the Word of God, and there's only one way. I'm going to tell you, you need to know your Bible, Christians. You need to know what it means today, and they are dumbing down. I'm going to tell you, this is not my sermon, they're just getting into it, but I tell you what it is today. Jesus Christ, in his first words recorded as a child, you remember what he said? In Luke, he said, I must be about my Father's business. First recorded word of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures. I must be about my Father's business. Did you know what the last word is? It is finished. That is the Word of God. Jesus Christ completed it on the cross of Calvary. There's nothing else to add to it, and you better not take away from it and shortchange of some of these scriptures we have today and some what they call these modern translation Bibles today. I'm going to tell you, the last word, it is finished. Well, I'm going to tell you, Peter was talking to a group of people. And these group of people that was having a hard time. And I'm going to tell you what, people today is having a hard time. And you here today for some needs. I hope you come today to feel some needs in your life today. Because Jesus Christ will meet your needs. When you start worshiping God and praising God in a God church service with the people of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ will meet your needs in your life. I'm going to tell you that. That's why we're here today, get our needs met. Not for one another, not who I am, who you are, but I'm going to tell you about the Word of God to meet our needs. Now, there's two of the reasons why that people are toning down, dressing down, and dumbing down, and there's two reasons. And one of the reasons is, I don't know, and I don't care. And we wonder, why are we having problems? This generation, I think, has dropped that vase of the past generations. Hope we have today. Are you here today and you need hope? I mean, do you need hope for your family? You're raising children. Some of you young parents today, you're bringing little ones in this world by the grace and the mercy of God. Look in the eyes of those. Look at you as a grandparent today, and look in the eyes and the face of those little ones today. Mothers and fathers today, how are you going to raise your children without God and the Word of God today? Do you dare try to raise your children without the Word of God? Or you think that you can make it on your own? The Bible says, without the Lord, you labor in vain that tries to build a house or a home without God. We've tried everything. These people was hurting and they needed the Word of God so bad in their life. In these verses of Scripture, it tells us what the Word of God is. It tells us what the Word of God does. In verse 23 again, being born again, talking to us today, not the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God, it is alive. It lives. This book lives today. It don't mean it just lives one time. It's continuously a living. It is the very essential and essence of life itself, the book that I hold today. Can you imagine? Can you even think? We can't even imagine ourselves today in this country without the Word of God. Oh, the Word of God has been tried to be destroyed many, many times. Can you imagine today not having the leadership and the guidance in your life, in your home, in your children, in your family, in your marriage without the Word of God? Oh, I'll tell you what, the Word of God, it's alive. A book, what a book it is. And Philippians says the Word is live. Hebrews says the Word is a living and it's powerful. Bible is a living book. Why is it a living book? In Matthew it says, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If God's speaking today, He'd be speaking the very words that's already been penned in this book. If He's going to talk to this world today, He'd say what's already had been said. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if He was back in flesh right here standing in this pulpit and He was talking to you today, He'd be telling you the very same thing that's in this Word of God that day. He's got nothing new to tell you. It says it is finished to mankind. Everything that you need in your life, everything that you need in your future, everything that you need in when this world is out of existence is in this Word of God here this day. I'm going to tell you in trouble today. I'm going to tell you you have needs today. You have sickness. We have people that is in job need today. We have so many needs in our life today. They have family problems today. And every answer is in the Word of God for your guidance today. God knows every need that you have today, and He's powerful enough and loving enough and merciful enough to meet every need you have, and it's going to be met by the precious in the Word of God this day. The Bible is a living Word of God because God is alive. It's a living Word of God because God is alive. And by the very nature of itself today, it bears the nature of the living God itself. That's what I'm going to tell you about the Word of God, the living Word of God today. And just the freshness of the Word of God today, as I read this to you, every century, every year, as you read this book, it comes into your life all over again. The psychologists, you know, they'll have a book, but just a little while, it'll be out of date. And I'll tell you, look at a science book. I'm going to tell you, people that goes to college, you know what? They can't use the same book year after year. Look like they ought to could, but I mean, they can't even use it from one semester to another one because, you know, it's always being rewrote because something passes away, but not the Word of God. These things will not fade away. The Bible, 1 Corinthians, it tells about the Word of God. But see, the Bible is fresh and it's new. I mean, there's look into the Old Testament and there's so many revivals because of the Word of God. Oh, Joash is a young king, the youngest king was ever on Israel. He was a good king, and they had lost the scrolls. They had lost the Bible. They did not have the Old Testament when he was a young boy on the throne of Israel. Now, Ahab had tried to get rid of and burn all the scrolls. You remember old Ahab, the old mean, rough king, the old mean king? Well, he'd try to get rid of all the Bibles. And I'm going to tell you, without the Word of God, they didn't know what to do. For 70 years, they had closed the temple. You know, the temple's where God met with His people. Only one place on the face of this grass world that we live in today. The mighty God that we have on the universe and the great planet Earth that we have here that God created with His breath. And all the many people at that time, when Joash was a king, all the nation of Israel and all the other nations of the world, but there was one little old place, there was one little old place on this earth that God met with the people, and that was a little place about like this stool here. It's called the mercy seat of God. That one had to be in the temple, the only place that God met with mankind. And for 70 years, the nation of Israel now had closed the doors of the temple, and no longer was they sacrificing to their God. They had lost the scroll. They had lost their way. They had lost the Bible. They didn't have the Old Testament, and it was in chaos in that country. They was in chaos in Israel. And then Joash decided that he would rebuild the temple, and he was rebuilding the temple and cleaning out all the trash like in your house under your barn, and guess what? A copy of the scroll of the Word of God was found and brought to the king. Not the old Bible now, because they didn't have it, but they had at least the first five books of the Bible. Maybe the Chronicles, where this is, 2 Chronicles chapter 34, where you start reading about old Joash. And they brought it to old Joash, and they began to read the book for several hours to that young king. And whenever he heard the word of God, he pulled his clothes off and tore his clothes off, because that just shows, you know, he was mad and he was hurt. He was shamed about his people. And I'm going to tell you what, they had a revival because the word of God was read to the people. It was read to the people. I'm going to tell you what, hundreds of years now, they hadn't heard about the word of God. Hundreds of years, I don't know how many years it had been lost. But hundreds of years they lost. And then whenever they began to read the scroll of Joash, it was just like me reading this word to you right now. Because the word of God's fresh every morning. Even though it's been lost for hundreds of years, when you open up this living book, it's fresh all over again to Joash. It's fresh all over again to IB. Every morning in my study, it's fresh in your Sunday school. It's fresh in your Bible study that every one of us have today. And I'm going to tell you, when you open up this Word of God, it says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. If you confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God is raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm going to tell you, it's a living word of God. I'm going to tell you, they had a revival, and we need a revival today, and your needs are being met today. It'll be met because of the word of God today. I'm going to tell you, they had a word of God. It was fresh. It's just like a new thunderbolt. It just fell from heaven. I like that old song we sing in the old red hymn book. I live on. I live on. Yeah. When my body's slumbering in that cold, cold clay, I live on. I live on through eternity. I live on. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to live on, because the Word of God's going to live on. The Word of God's going to live on. It says, I'm going to live on. I'm in eternity right now as far as God is concerned. I'm going to live on. There never will be a time when I'm not. There never will be a time when you're not. I'm going to live on. We'll sing that song. I live on. I live on. Yes, out there in my old cold, cold clay, whenever our forefathers and our ancestors have been in there for many years in that old cold, cold clay, and their old bodies and their old bones had turned back to the dust and the clay of this old earth. But I'm going to tell you, their soul and their spirit, they're going to live on. Yes, my mother, my father, my grandparents, they live on. They live on. Oh, I'm going to live on one day. Why? Because the Word of God, it's alive, it's truth, and it lives on all eternity. Well, I'm going to tell you, when the stars fall from orbit, and I'm going to tell you, whenever this great world that you and I live in, I'll be no more. I live on. I live on. Amen. I'm going to live on. Boy, you ain't seen the last of me. Why? Because I live on. I'm going to tell you what. The Word of God is a living Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, it's a enduring Word of God too. Heaven and earth might pass away, but Bible's the Word of God. But God says, my Word never pass away. I'm going to have to hurry. I'm just about begin my sermon. I'm going to tell you. Verse 24 and 25. Because it makes a comparison now. Here about the flesh that you are. And then the Word of God. It says in verse 24, for all flesh is as grass. And you know what grass has done this past winter. And all the glory of man. Everything that you do and accumulate. The flowers is like grass, and they wither away, and the flowers, they fade away. But The word of God endures forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. He's talking about different between the physical life of this universe we have, this earth that we're living on here this day, or the word of God. Human life, I mean life it is on this planet earth is just like grass. This flesh is passing away. We come here this morning, I talked about a graveyard, but I'm going to tell you what, we're in the land of the dying right now. We're in the land of the dying. The glory of man, it says, is fading away. All your achievements, all your family achievements in this life, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be just like the flowers in the grass. They are going to fade away, every one of us. Oh, there's people puts all out for athletic achievements. I'm going to tell you, they love all type of sports. They go all out for sports. Mothers and fathers will do everything they can to make sure their kids exceed in all type of sports. There's nothing wrong with sports. I'm going to tell you, but sports is going to fade away. I don't care how many trophies. I don't care where they stand at with all their achievements there, of their trophies there in that sport. But that's going to fade away one day. All those achievements are going to fade away. But, oh, I'm going to tell you, how about worship and salvation? What about that? And then we have the education. Oh, it's good to get an education. You just about got to have an education, even a college education today. Oh, do all that for your education. But you better know what Jesus Christ is talking about, educating us that we are lost sinners and we need to be saved by the grace of God. But how about the money matter? How about you can't do anything without money? You better get all the money you can. You're going to probably need it. And you get just everything you can. Get all these trophies. Everything you can, but you see, everything you do get, all your achievements sitting here this morning, all your achievements in this life, if you live to be 100, is going to fade away like grass. Miss America. Miss America. Beauty queens of Miss America. 75 years, they won't be so beautiful if they're alive. All those achievements of the great awards, they're going to fade away. You just think about you working day and night and you ain't got time to come and you ain't got time for the people to bring their children to the house of God, to the things of God, to hear the word of God. And you make some other achievements, but those other achievements are going to fade like grass and like a withered flower. Only remain is what you do for Jesus and the word of God. What the Word of God and what the Word of God is and what the Word of God does. Now I got a few more minutes and I'm fixing to preach my sermon. You better listen fast. The Word of God saves us. The Word of God saves us. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God is compared to a seed. A small seed don't look like much. A mustard seed is not very big, but it makes a nice, good plant. I'm going to tell you, a pumpkin seed is about the size of my fingernail, and they tell me you can get them over 600 sometime, 1,000 pound pumpkin for a little seed, my fingernail. And then an acorn. When you see one of these giant, beautiful live oak trees, and I love to look at them, and their limbs go from one side of the church and further another, great, and it come from a little old acorn about the size there of my thumbnail. A seed of the Word of God. In the pyramids, when they was entering into those Egyptian pyramids, they found seeds that had been in there for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And you know what? They added water and fertilize and light, and those seeds begin to spring up. The life that's in the seed. The life. The Bible has life. I want to tell you, it produces life in the hearts of people. And I'm going to tell you, no person can be saved apart from the Word of God. No person can be saved apart from the Word of God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. James 1 and 18 says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creation. The miracle, I'm going to tell you, sitting here before us today, you look around, all around here today, and you see miracles. Every one of us today, if you're born again, there's a miracle. There's a miracle of this new birth. You know where it started from? A little seed is called the Word of God in the hearts of mankind. In your heart, a little seed was planted one day, and it began to grow and produce. As you fertilized it by you coming to church and reading your Bible, and you nourished it by the sunlight of others, and by the warmth of fellowship, and by the attending of the Sunday school and the hour, and Sunday night and Wednesday night, your little seed began to grow. John 6 and 63. It is spirit that quickens and brings us alive. The flesh profits nothing. The word that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are alive. They come here today because we come for help. You know, some people is lost in darkness and they come for help. And they say, I'm in darkness and I need help, as I preached the other night about, and Wednesday night about being in that hole and couldn't get out when God lifts us. Well, someone come today and say, I'm in need, I'm in darkness, I'm in this hole, I need help. How do you know you need help? Well, Proverbs 14 and 12 tells us, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of death. I tried the way of man. I tried to be good. I tried this. I believe this. I believe that. But it says in the Bible, I'm still in this dark hole because it says the way of man leads to death. What you think is going to get you to heaven is going to carry you to hell. Isaiah 59 and 2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. That's what we've done. We have sinned against a holy God. Yes, I know that, but I need to be saved. Romans 3 and 23. And then it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Person, he says, I need help, though. I need help. Well, I'll tell you the truth. As they march up to a science, and I'll tell you the truth. He says, I'll tell you the truth, and this truth will help you. That water is a solid. Water is a liquid. Water is a vapor. And that is truth. Do you believe truth? Do you believe this truth? That's truth. I believe that's truth. But I'm still in this hole because that don't save me. You see, you got to have a certain type of truth. It's not truth from science. It's truth from the Word of God. Not from man. You're still in that dark hole. You go to a baker and you say, I'm hungry, and he gives you bread, but you see, you're still hungry for something else because Jesus Christ is the bread of life and he's the light of the world. I'm going to tell you what, the Word of God, it saves us. But the Word also of God, it sanctifies us. In verse 22, it also says, being born again, not of corruptible seed. And then it says, seeing you have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit, unfringed love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure and fervent heart. A cleansing agent of the power of this Word of God that claims us. You know what? You may have been bathed one time by the blood of Jesus Christ. We all saved here this morning. If you're not, you can be saved before you leave here. But you leave here. But you know what? You got dirty this past week. I got dirty. And I need to be cleansed. I get dirty every day. And I need to be cleansed. Now, there's a cleansing agent. John 17 and 17, sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is true. John 15 and 3 says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So you see, there's a positive and there's a negative about this cleansing power. Sanctification means become more like Jesus Christ. You purify your soul in obeying the truth of the Word of God, not the truth about science. You hear the truth of the Word of God. Have you heard this morning? Have you heard the truth of the Word of God? When you hear the truth of the Word of God, you obey the Word of God. And it purifies you by obeying the Word of God. Then it produces in your heart a love for the brethren and a love for the things of God. If you have love for Jesus Christ in your heart and for one another. Romans 5 and 5 says, and hope make not ashamed because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Romans 5 and 8 says, but God commends his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Love one another with a pure heart, stretched out heart. Fervent love, a stretched out heart. God, give us that love. Naturally, you don't love people. We weren't born in this world to love people. We are selfish. Get it right, get it right. You're selfish. You want everybody to do something for you. Everybody do something for my family. Get it right. We are a selfish people. But whenever God gets into your heart, you must start doing things for others and seeing others that they have mistakes and failures just like you do. And you have mistakes just like they do. And it's about others. And it says that fervent love, that means stretched out hard as you can. Negative sanctification. Jump down in chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now, therefore, laying aside all malice, guile, and all these other things. Lay them aside. What's he talking about? Lay them aside. It says, wherefore, think about all the things that God's done for you now in the positive manner. Think what God's done for you this morning. And then you lay aside some things in your life. Negative side. Wherefore? Lay them aside. John 15 and 3 says, now you are cleansed through the word of God which I have spoken unto you. The positive side and the negative side. God put love in your heart. Did you know that? And he helps you express that love. He's done that for you. We get up, shake hands with everybody we hear this morning, and you know, you shake hands with everybody, you love everybody. God's put that love in your heart. God's the one that's done it. And then he says, lay aside. It means that laying aside means take off some clothes, get through, you get home at work, y'all come in from work, you start putting off your clothes, your shoes, and that means lay it aside. So you lay aside some things you come into. We have all of this thing for germs today. You know, everybody's washing their hands. Make sure you don't have no germs on your hands today. Make sure you get a, and that's a good idea, but there's some germs on your and on your side of your spiritual body that you need to get rid of also. And he names some of these, you know, germs. Malice. What is malice? That's anger. That's concealed anger. Some of y'all mad at me right now. You're smiling at me, but you're mad at me. I ain't done something you want me to do probably. That's concealed malice. A painter was painting a picture of the Lord's Supper. He had a man he didn't like. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll paint his face as Judas. So he painted a man's face as Judas. Then he went to paint the Lord's face. And he couldn't do it. He tried, but he just couldn't make it work out. Until he went back and erased the face of that man for Judas off of it and left a blank. Then he was able to paint the face of the Lord. I'm going to tell you this day, you know, a lot of people might have anger. You might have malice and nobody don't know about it. But I'm going to tell you what, you need to get that out of your heart. You don't know nobody else unless you've walked in their footsteps. Guile, that's bait a hook. You fishermen ought to know about that. You animal lovers, you ought to know about that. You put out that corn for them turkeys and deer, and then you bushwhack them. That's what that is talking about. You bushwhack them. Being a hypocrite, you put on an act. Envy, you're jealous. Evil speaking of, I've done this before, and you have to talk behind somebody's back. God forgive me. God forgive me. The Word of God sustains us. The Word of God sustains us. 1 Corinthians 3:13-11. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. Job says, neither have I gone back from my commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the word of God in his mouth more precious than food itself, or more necessary than food itself. I'm telling you, how much do you read your Bible? I got a book about Billy Graham. It's a daily devotion. And I've told you before, I asked Brother Billy Graham, old man now, if you had to live your life over, what would you do different? He said, I'd read my Bible more. How much do you consume the Word of God? U.S. Medical Association says the average American in a lifetime consumes 150 cows, 2,400 chickens, 310 hogs, 26 acres of grain, and 50 acres of vegetables. And how much Word of God do you consume in your lifetime? How much Word of God do you consume in your lifetime? Verse 2, it says, desires a baby for milk. I'm going to hurry on through here now because, you see, a baby. Miss Wendy and some others works up there where they have newborn babies. And they don't have to show them a video how to drink milk. So they come in the world, Miss Wendy, ready to drink milk because that is a natural thing for a baby to do. And I want to tell you something else. If that child don't have that appetite, something is wrong with that child. When your child gets sick or you get sick, and you lose your appetite, that's a sign that there's something wrong with you. But I'm going to tell you also something else. When a Christian loses their appetite for the Word of God and the people of God and the things of God, it's a sign that there's something wrong in the life of that person. It's a sign there's something wrong with that person. Then it says, taste of the Word of God. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is good, taste it. So you got to taste it. You can't just look at it. You got to digest it and taste it. I know I've been fortunate enough to carry my kids on vacation when they were smaller. David and Carl and Craig, remember, we went to Hershey, Pennsylvania. Went through the Hershey plant. And they let you go through a glass tunnel, and they get to see all type of this chocolate that you get. Oh, boy, it looks so good. Ooh, it looks so good. Most of y'all like chocolate. Man, you could just kind of taste it in your mouth. But you won't really know what it tasted like until you got on the other end, and they give you a little old Hershey bar by that long, about a good little taste. You got to taste it for yourself. And I can tell you, and I can show you, and I can preach to you how good the Word of God is, but I'm going to tell you what you're going to have to do. You're going to have to taste it for yourself. Has become the song of invitation, and I'm sorry I went so long today, but I just had to let you know what God had to say to you today. And I will tell you, the Word of God today was plain as I could make it. And then what I said is what God said, and I don't apologize for anything the Word of God says. I don't apologize. You have to take it the way the Word of God explains it to you. It will have the song of invitation for the Lord. Test.